Marilu Meyrung is in studio with me again this Tuesday morning. Time gone 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. Marilu, great to have you in studio with us over the next couple of weeks. I know last week we really just got onto a really amazing topic as we are delving into four relationship pillars of wellness and, of course, the most important relationship being God. Let's recap on what was discussed last week.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's always lovely to be here and to jump right in, because I know that we can talk about this forever. To jump right in, last week we spoke about the first pillar, which is really, really important, is your relationship with God. So I call these four pillars, but your relationship with God is, like I explained last week, that center wall that everything else is built around. So if this wall or if this pillar isn't in place, then everything else also can't actually sustain itself. So it won't filter through properly. So your relationship with God is like your plug-in. And so just to recap on that, you know, scripture says when the disciples asked Jesus, you know, what is the most important commandments? He said, first and foremost is love God with all of your heart, with your mind and your soul. And it's so beautiful, again, just to think about that, to love God means that he had to love us first. And love in itself, like when we think love, we think romantic love, you know. So we actually watered down the whole meaning and the whole substance of love, just having one word for love. I know Afrikaans and English and a couple of languages only has one word for love. And so I think just in our language itself, it waters down that meaning. But God says love, to love him, and Jesus is love. I mean, this weekend we celebrated like how big that love is, you know, and he is love. So it's not if we have to love him, it means that we actually have to have love first. And to have love means that we have to have Jesus, because he is love. He doesn't have love. You know, it's not like an additional characteristic of him. He is love. So he has to first give us love, which is Jesus. And then when we have that love, we give it back to God by loving God with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. And to quickly recap on what that means is, with all of our mind means that we're consciously thinking about that. So we remind ourselves about that daily, whether it's in prayer or with scripture, but it's like a conscious thought. So it's thinking, sitting down and consciously thinking about God and how we can love him and how wonderful he is. And obviously in that, worshiping him, telling him how beautiful he is and how amazing he is. Reflecting that back to him. And then to love him with our hearts is to love him with our subconscious mind. So we last week we spoke about how do we love God with our subconscious mind? Because our subconscious mind is that area that we don't think about. It's like when you drive your car and you don't have to think about driving anymore. So how do we love God with our subconscious mind? Because it's also our subconscious mind that where we have a lot of, I want to say, bad habits stored. You know, that's where the voices sometimes sits. That is, if you had like an influence in your life that told you that you weren't going to become anything great in life or whatever. So that recording also sits in your subconscious mind. So we sometimes have to sit with our subconscious mind and clean out our subconscious mind by washing ourselves with God's word, so that that can be replaced. Those negative thoughts can be replaced with God's word. And so spending time and meditating on God's word. And I want to say, like, repetitively repeating what God is saying about him, what God is saying about us, what God is saying, that then becomes your subconscious mind. And that is how we love God, is by repetitively actually just meditating, sitting, thinking. What does meditation mean? So meditation isn't as a new age thing. You know, Jesus meditated. So meditation means that you sit and you think with your creative mind. Last week we did the exercise of the lemon that we squeezed. And it's sitting, meditating with all of your senses in your imagination, imagining how good is God, imagining and reminding ourselves of what God has already done for us, not just in our lives, but by Jesus that died on the cross and everything that means. Meditating, what that feels like, what that looks like, what that tastes like, what, you know, smells like. So really sitting and getting that full picture, that is meditating, and what God's word is then saying. So it's not just reading the words and like knowing the words, the black and white on paper, but actually sitting and feeling it and understanding what that looks like in all the senses. That is meditating. So when we do that, we put these recordings in our subconscious mind. And when it comes to these situations where you need to react out of your subconscious mind, it's like when you sit there in a situation and someone says a harmful word, instead of then reacting out of anger, we're reacting out of love, because that is what we have conditioned our subconscious mind. And that's how we love God, out of our subconscious mind. And this takes a bit of work. And look, God says that we have to take capture our thoughts. And this is how we take capture our thoughts. So it's easy to take capture a thought that you consciously think. You know, if you're sitting and thinking, you know, maybe I'm not so good. No, stop it, Murray Lou, you're absolutely fine. This is not what God's telling you. You know, so it's easy to stop your conscious thoughts, but your subconscious thoughts is so much deeper. And so we have to actually really sit and go, if there was a situation where you reacted out of anger or out of fear or, you know, whatever the case may be. And in today's life, we have ample exercises with everything that's going on in the world. We have these situations that are really a beautiful practice ground for us to see where in our subconscious mind are we out of alignment, out of that love that was given to us, and then align ourselves back to that. And so, and that all together then makes up the soul man. So that is the third thing that God has said, is to love him with our soul. So that is really then where your soul is your, it makes up your emotions, your free will. So that is then out of free will to choose to rather think better, out of your free will to choose to rather do good, especially to your enemies and those that have done you wrong, to step out of the normal way of how the world does things and does things out of love, because God has loved us first. So that is...
Yeah. Marilou, just to interject over here, I think of that scripture where Jesus says you are to love your enemies. Like, how do we do that? So now you've just explained now, it's out of your will that you do that, because we understand our relationship with Christ and with God. We know that because of what he did and his love for us, we should also be given love to others.
You know, I want to share a little personal testimony of how to love your enemies. I've had two occasions literally happening in the last 2 years, where the one situation event that happened was I was standing at an ATM. Long story short, I was scammed out of my bank card and they withdrew all of the money out of my card. And I was at the petrol station. I went back to my card, no money to pay petrol with. And I sat there and for a moment I was like, you know, you instantly go, I shouldn't live in South Africa. I shouldn't, you know, you go to all of these extents, like this world is falling apart and da 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 da. And you your mind consciously go there. Like, we've just been conditioned to always then look at the negative. And God reminded me, and it was interesting because that happened just after I'd made a post on Facebook saying that I've just been cleared of my debt. I just, you know, gotten rid of all of my debt, and I was like praising God for it. And then this incident happened. And I sat there and I was like, okay, I have a choice to make now. I have to choose. Either I'm going to be anxious, because it was quite an anxious scenario. Like, you know, I had my kids with me as well. So it was quite an you know, interesting emotional situation. But I drove back and I was like, I'm going to, against everything that is in the fiber of my being, should I say, so in my human flesh, felt like being angry and anxious and worried and fearful and everything against all of that, I decided I'm going to bless these people. I'm going to bless them in the spirit. God, I'm releasing them in the spirit. I'm blessing them. I pray that every single note that has been drawn out of my bank account, that is now an access point for the Holy Spirit to speak into people's lives. So everyone that touches that card, everyone that touches this money, let the Holy Spirit be able to like step into it. Lord, I release them. I bless them. I promise you. So I'll share with you, like, that was about 3,000 rand that they drew out of my account. And by the end of that weekend, I had 10,000 rand back in my account. And so it's not just, you know, I don't want to say from a selfish point of view, but when you release other people to and bless them, God has, I want to say, like, spiritually, you are then aligned that God can just give you triple back than what was taken. Same thing happened about 2-3 months ago. I went for a run, went on my run. And in fact, on the run, I was spiritually warfaring and I was praying and I was, you know, casting demons out and I was just going crazy. And we've got a little river close by. And as I was finishing my run, well, I was still on the river. And as I was turning around, coming back, this guy approached me out of the bushes. And I just, in my spirit, I felt, oh, here we go. Like I should have expected warfaring, you know, here it comes. And the next moment, he had a knife on him and he mugged me and he stole my running watch. And again, like I knew that it was a spiritual attack more than a human attack. So, I could honestly say, I released him right there and there. So I knew that, like, I released him completely spiritually. I walked away. I prayed for him. I released him. And again, I said, God, let that watch be an entry point for Holy Spirit to, like, enter into people's lives. Everyone that touches this watch, let them have an effect of the Holy Spirit. And also, again, after that weekend, a new watch was dropped off. A friend knew someone at the, you know, at, should I say, the at Huawei, and they just dropped off a new heart rate watch for me, and God just blessed me actually with a better watch. So, like, really, it is in our favor to bless our enemies, to pray for our enemies, and to bless our enemies, because it doesn't help adding more anger into this world. And I'll talk about that when we come to the pillar three, which we'll discuss in weeks to come.
You know, you've spoken of something that's so powerful. I mean, Pretoria East basically on Sunday night at 9 o'clock basically went out. The lights went out. 7 pylons were toppled over because of wind and rain, and also they seem to think it's vandalism. And that is an opportunity for us as Christians to say, Lord, we forgive these people. Lord, we pray that you will work in these people's lives. Because it's so easy for us, like you just said, to state the obvious and say the state that the city is in, and they knew this in October last year already, blah, 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 blah. But rather, instead of saying, you know what, let's see how God's going to use the situation. How are we going to respond? Are we going to respond differently? Are we going to respond in a godly way?
Yeah.
Are we going to pray for those that think that it is okay to do what they did?
Yes.
And so, wow, that is really very, very powerful. I think we're going to also need to go into the discussion, the pillar, the wellness pillar of your relationship with yourself, because from your relationship with God is your relationship with yourself.
Yes, and why that is second is the second commandment that Jesus said was to love your neighbor like you love yourself. So before you can love your neighbor, you have to love yourself. So this that we are cursing other people actually speaks more about what we think of ourselves than what we think of other people. And that is so important to understand, that to love yourself, it means that you have to be kind, you have to be respectful, you have to have self-discipline. Self-discipline is most probably like one of the most, I want to say, like the strongest ways to love yourself is to have self-discipline. And we sometimes think it's the other way around. When we allow ourselves like little pleasures in life, that is how we love ourselves. No, it's to have discipline in your life is a sign of you really loving yourself. But and it's not, you know, I'm not talking about people take, in like, no offense to anyone that does this, but I'm not talking about this, you know, man loving themselves or worshiping themselves. You get people that are like, you know, have selfies, 100 selfies on Instagram, and they have completely lost the plot. And I'm just taking an example because I want to make it, you know, visual. I'm talking about when you love yourself to really respect yourself. It's not looking in the mirror and sending yourself kisses. It's a case of that when you love something, you know everything about it. And I'm going to use the example of rugby, because I think rugby is quite a nice one to use in South Africa. When a person loves rugby, they know all the players, they know all the positions, they know all the rules, they know all the referees, they know games that have been played in 1980. five or, you know, even before that, they know of every single move in rugby. They have all the t-shirts, they have all the balls, they've been to all the games. Like when you love rugby, you know it. And it's the same way. If you love yourself, you'll know how your body functions. You'll know how, you'll find out more about how your body functions. So like, for instance, where is what organs? How many systems do you have? What works best for you? What are your sleeping patterns? How's your energy levels? How to maintain that? How to best feed and nurture yourself in that regard? So it's really being kind and good to yourself in that way. And that is where loving yourself also comes in. Because if you can look after yourself in that optimal way, you can look after your neighbor in that same way.
And that is so powerful. That is how it works when it comes to your relationship with self, in such a well-descripted way to say there's a difference between being in love with yourself and loving yourself. Marilou Meyering, thank you so much for your time this morning. We're looking forward to speaking more on this. Two more pillars to go. And next week between 10 past 8 and 8:30, Marilou from Wellness of Ministry will be talking to us. Thank you, Marilou.
Thank you.